You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go! It's
going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty. It all comes down to this.
When in doubt, get somebody.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
You must go seize the
moment. It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis! Touchdown, Ben Davis! The Giants win!
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis football. I am honored.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Inside Ben Davis Football. We are here live at the Arby's at West 10th Street. I'm Corey Vervinkt. I'm also being joined by John Easter. How are you doing, sir?
Doing great, doing great. I know Jeff's on his way, so Jeff, if you're listening, take your time. You got some time to get here. We know you're on your way. Traffic's crazy out there today, as always. So
also being joined
Jeff
by
Robinson will be here, but it's good to be here with you, Corey.
Also joined by the main man himself, Coach Mike Kirshner. How are you doing, Coach?
Doing all right. It's a good night to be at Arby's. Talk a little football. The weather does not indicate that it's football season. We were talking off the air that it's just hot, man. I don't, here it is September 20th, and it's about 89 degrees, and on that turf, it's probably 100 and something. But it's good to be talking. Wish we had a little better news from last week, but we'll get to that. And, see if we can rebound this week. We're going to have to do some things better.
Well, as you alluded to, last Friday, the Giants had a heartbreaking 35-34 loss to the Warren Central Warriors. Tell us about the game, Coach.
We started off slow. I'll give Warren credit. I'll give Coach West and his staff credit. They opened up with a little bit of trickery, for lack of a better word, on the kickoff. You know, started to their right, kid threw back cross field left, got it across midfield before our kicker did a nice job keeping him from scoring, really. And Sean Skiles. And they got the ball at about the 40, 45, somewhere in there. And, ran a couple plays. We get them to a third and medium. Feel pretty good. They come out in a trip set. We're in a deep look. Knowing they're probably going to throw, corner made a bad decision based on what we told him all week. He decided to do something we told him not to do. Next thing you know, the guy's behind us, and we're down 7-0. Offense comes out, gets the first down, ends up punting. They get the ball, pretty good field position, run a double pass, so to speak. They run Tonti to the side, throw back over to Sumeyer. Sumeyer throws deep. We're screaming on the sideline. We could see it coming, back. We don't get back. It's so we're down 14-0 4 minutes into the game. And you could sit there and hang your head. You could sit there and say, wow, we're in trouble. You could have flashbacks to 2006 when it was 76-7. But you know what? Our kids didn't. We got the ball back. We put a nice drive together. We go down, make it 14-7. And, they answer. And then it's 21-14 at half. And offense is kind of moving now. Defense is feeling a little better. We come out second half and get the ball. And we knew going in at halftime, down seven, we were going to start with the ball if we could put something together. Well, unbeknownst to us, on the third play, Reese Taylor's helmet was going to fall off, which means he has to come out for a play. So we tell Cooper, who played quarterback for four games last quarterback, he's fighting some injuries, and he goes, I'm not sure I can throw it. And we called a specific play, and we said, throw it. And he throws a beautiful 45-yard strike to Jermaine Hoskins. Next thing you know, it's 21-21. So we're in a battle. They go 28-21. We answer the call, 28-21. At this point, we're just fighting. We're clawing, we're scrapping. I told the kids after the game I wasn't disappointed. If they're one of the best teams in the country according to USA Today and Max Preps and all that, and you lose by a point at their place, you're not too shabby yourself. Now that doesn't mean I'm satisfied, not even close. So they score, go up 35-28. We pick off a pass, pick six it, 35-34. Unfortunately, we dropped the snap from the center. The snap was good. Young man just dropped it. That left us a point behind. And so you're fighting, and you're thinking time's running out. You're late in the fourth quarter. We get the ball back. We get the ball back on our own 30. Joey Person breaks a long run. Next thing you know, we're inside their 30. And we throw a pick. you know, we called the right play. You know, watching film the next day, we the young man who threw it made a bad decision. You know, if he makes the right decision, we're up 41-35. We're probably going to go for two, you know, try to get to a 7-point lead again and make it 42-35. But we were in position to win. And after the start being down 14-0 and being in a position to win with 2 minutes to go says a little bit about the character of your team. Now, again, I was walking off the field and a young lady who is my boss is walking off the field and I apologized to her and she says, nice game. I said, not really, you know, and as a coach and I shouldn't have been, I went and apologized to Ms. Squire. Cause I knew my tongue was sharp and it shouldn't have been, but as a coach, you know, Corey, you were asking me off the air, would you rather be beat by one or beat by 51? I'd rather be beat by one. If I'm beat by 51, it's hard to convince my kids that we're good enough to play. If we're beat by one and we had a chance to win with 2 minutes ago, they know we had a chance to win. And then you can build on that. But the reality is if we don't build on that and take care of business this week, then we got issues. We got issues if we don't build on it and get back to the right side of winning here.
You got off to a bad start in this ball game, and you were constantly seemingly trying to fight back to get back into the game. How much does that change your initial game plan whenever you get off to the start like that?
Well, what you can't do, that's a very good question, what you can't do is panic. And with only 4 minutes gone in the game and down 14-0, we were on the headset, you know, and I can remember coaches saying, everybody just needs to relax. Get the kids refocused. We got the DBs over there because the D secondary is the one that was messing up early, and we've discussed that. And refocus on what we do well. And we had to make some adjustments. I thought Coach Schwanekamp defensively made some adjustments that got us in positions. We ended up picking him off twice. One, we returned about 35 yards down to their 10. The other one was a pick six. You know, when your defense can score and set up a score, that's a good thing. Our offense finished with 400 yards. Which is the most, you know, talking to Warren guys, nobody's had that kind of yards on them all year. Even Cole Rain, who's ranked fourth in the country, only had 300 yards offense. So we move the ball, but we've got some things. For instance, one of the huge negatives is I think Warren had 5 penalties for 30 yards, and we had 11 penalties for 105 or something like that. We had 2 center snaps that went over our quarterback's head. One, we were inside their 40, and we snapped it over his head, and it went back on the other side of the 50. That's the kind of stuff that keeps biting us, that if we ever fix, just stop and get it right. We've dropped 4 PAT holds now. You know, 3 of them didn't bother us because we were beating those teams so bad it didn't matter. This one bothers. I mean, I'd like a shot at overtime at 35-35. Who knows? You know, maybe they turn it over. Maybe they throw another pick six. You know, who knows? You know, I don't know that we would have beaten them, but I'd like to have a shot. Well, when you drop the snap, you don't kick it, you don't get a shot. So, like I said, I didn't walk away the game. I was more frustrated after the Center Grove game because I just didn't think we executed things very well at different times, both offensively and defensively. This game, there were times the defense just showed flashes of good stuff, and times our offense just looked like they could roll with just about anybody, but we'll see.
Obviously, you know, we've talked about it. Warren's a good football team. Mm-hmm. The Giants, certainly, I think, can say now, you guys are a good football team. You could meet again later in the year. But what I thought was impressive about the game, and I watched from the stands, and I was tweeting a little bit and things too, so I wasn't. I was talking to Alex Kirby, friend of mine, you know,
yep.
Former host of the show,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, he did.
And I was, you know, so my attention wasn't, let's say, 150% on the game like it normally is. But what I thought was impressive was the way that I thought you guys kind of dominated both lines. I thought you guys were in the backfield a lot on the defensive side of the football. You got a lot of penetration, made Sue Meyer do some things he didn't want to do. And then I thought the offensive line, for being as young as they are, really did a nice job against those big Warren defensive linemen. So what were your thoughts on those?
I couldn't agree more. We started 4 juniors on the offensive line for Friday night. You throw in a junior quarterback, a junior tailback, 2 junior wide receivers. We're pretty young. But they're growing up. You know, a couple of them, it was their first or second start. One of them, the one guard, it was Ronnie Williams. It was his first start. Skylar Fletcher was his second start. So I thought we did a nice job. They had two, Warren has two very athletic DNs that gave us problems. But I thought we did okay in the interior. We were able to run the ball. I think we rushed for 100 and almost 200 yards, 190, I think, which was the best rushing night we've had to this point this year, which bodes well because you think about what Warren went and did to Colerain, which Colerain's purely a running team. If they're going to run 70 plays, there's going to be 65 that are going to be run, and they did a great job stopping their run attack. So we felt like we've made some progress there. Defensive line-wise, we were solid. We weren't. I've seen us better. We were solid. We're just banged up. I mean, Willie's hurting, Big O's hurting, Miner's hurting, Moody's hurting. Everyone. I mean, all four starters right there are fighting through injuries, and that's why you see such rotation up front. We're playing them a couple plays. We're getting them off for several plays. Once we get them, if we ever get them fully healthy, it'd be nice to see what they do that D line when they're all playing, and we don't have to rotate them out to try to keep them fresh.
Well, Coach, as he said earlier, Ajay Cooper had to come in for one play, throw a 45-yard amazing touchdown pass. Was there any thought of keeping him in the game?
Oh, no. No, 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 no. None. Reese is the guy. Ajay's one of our best receivers. I think he leads the team in receptions, yards. He's a great blocker. Reese makes all the plays. Here's the other thing that Reese adds that's a great dimension. The leading rusher on our team is our quarterback. I mean, he's rushed for 400 yards. You know, Jeremiah second, and then Johnny Adams and Joey Person. Because as a team, we've rushed for almost 1,300 yards, and he's got 400 of them. So, being that he's a dual threat, and he's completing 65% of his passes, he hardly ever throws picks. He's usually on the money with where he's going. No, but what it gives us, if you've watched any of our film, and you got to be leery of where he's at on the field. I mean, you know, all of a sudden he pops in at quarterback and he's throwing it, or we throw a pass out to him to the side and he does the double pass because he can throw it. So you got to be leery of where Coop is all the time.
I will say this, Jeff, and since this is about Reese, we already I was adding up the numbers, and I believe he's seventh all time right now
as far as
the quarterbacks go, just in the limited amount of time.
You're talking total yards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he had 1,600 and some, and he's got 800 and some this year. So 24. You combine them, it's about 20. I thought it was, right around 2,400 yards. Yeah.
Through only 10 games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. Not a bad piece of work right there.
Sorry, Jeff.
That's okay. Last week, going into the Warren Central game, I asked you about which side of the line concerned you. I believe you said Warren's defensive side football concerned you. How did you feel like, in general, your offense graded out against Warren's defense?
We actually graded out better this week than we did the week before against Center Grove. We didn't feel we played real well against Center Grove's defensive line. We felt like our offensive line grew up a little bit. We know it's a process. We keep telling the kids it is truly a process. If this one game defines us or the Center Grove game defines us, then we don't need to practice anymore. But it doesn't, and it's a process. But the process only works if the kids commit to getting better in the process, which has kind of been our point of emphasis yesterday and again today at practice, is if we're not going to get better, then the process doesn't take care of itself. We've got to find a way to get better. We've got to find a way to clean things up. We've got all field issues. Our kids got to do a better job in the classroom, in the hallways, and in behavior, and all. That's all part of the process. And, it's a – we've got to find a way to get some things cleaned up. There's some things that are happening that are not Warren's doing or Center Grove or Pike or anybody. It's our doing. And if we get those fixed, we got a chance to be okay. Where we'll finish out in this whole thing, I don't know. But we got a chance to be okay.
We're going to take a quick break here on Inside Ben Davis Football. And when we come back, we'll preview the homecoming game against Lawrence North. So a quick 30-second break here on Inside Ben Davis Football.
Having trouble with math or science homework? Call Rose Holman Institute of Technology's Homework Hotline, a free math and science tutoring service for Indiana students in grades 6 to 12. Call toll-free 1-877-ASK-ROSE from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday through Thursday, and a Rose Holman college student will help you with your math or science questions. The tutors are patient, smart, and pretty cool. Remember, it's a free service and a free call. That's 1-877-ASK-ROSE or visit AskRose.org.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Inside Ben Davis Football. Coach, it's the homecoming game this week. You take on an up-and-coming Lawrence North team playing a lot better than they did last year. Coach, tell us about the Wildcats.
Yeah, great Lawrence North team. And we knew this was going to happen. We knew Coach Mallory was going to get it figured out. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to run a program. Ruben DeLuna's defensive coordinator, been doing it for a long time. Helped out at Ben Davis for a while before he went to Center Grove, and now he's at LN. He's a great coach. We knew it was a matter of time, you know, and each year that Pat's been there, you've seen the progression. You know, the first year, I think they went 0-10, and then it was 1-9, and then it was 3-7, and now they're 3-2, having knocked off a program like Carmel. I mean, whenever you can knock off a program like Carmel, you know they're on the right track. What we're going to get, a team very similar in scheme, both offensively, defensively, and special teams to Center Grove, because that's where Pat came from. Actually, he went to Knightstown, then went to Lawrence North. But he spent most of his early career at Center Grove. And they're a wing tee team. They're going to run buck sweep. They're going to run belly, buck sweep, boot, jet sweep, and a few other odds and ends, wing counter. So we've defended it a week ago, two weeks ago with Lawrence Center Grove. Now we got to defend it again. We hope to be better the second time around. Defensively, they're a 4-2-5. They got two very good defensive tackles inside. They stun them a lot. They're looping. They're twisting. They're slanting, which gives us problems. Last year we went there, and I think the final was 35-14, I think was the final last year. But they're physical. They got three returning running backs, a returning quarterback, and two returning offensive linemen. So they got six guys. Defense is fairly new guys on the defense, but their offense is older. And all three running backs, number two is special, the fullback, the leading rusher on the team. He's very physical. He breaks tackles. When you think you got him down, you don't have him down. That's what we were showing film on him today to our kids, so they could get an idea that this isn't maybe what you remember from 2 years ago. This is the real deal.
Which the game last year, even though it was 35-14, it was a lot closer than the score showed, because it came down to the end. Then we started scoring a lot.
Yeah, well, we were
I think
up.
You're maybe thinking LC.
Yeah, my bad.
We were up
21-7 second half, I believe. Then got up 35-7. Then they scored right at the very end of the game. We had already subbed our kids out, but it wasn't a blowout by any means. You know, it was another one of those nights. We had double digit penalties, over 100 yards in penalty yards. We turned it over three times. We threw an interception in the red zone. We fumbled at the 2. We fumbled at the 15. You know, things we can't do this Friday. If that happens this Friday, the result will not be pretty. We didn't do a good job against the pass last year, but they're not notoriously a passing team. They're a run team, and we did a pretty good job defending the run last year.
Lawrence North has one of the biggest offensive linemen that I think you're going to find anywhere in high school football. Yeah. Committed to Indiana University, Jones, I believe, is his name. Your impressions of him as a blocker, and how do you adjust whenever you're going to get someone that massive?
He is 6'9", 390. All right, so when you say massive, and then the guy next to him, the guard that lines up next to him, is 6'2", 355. So they're literally putting these two behemoths right next to each other. And I tell you what, the transformation, Coach Mao and his staff done a very good job, and their strength coach has as well. But the transformation from this big tackles freshman year, where he was big, he's always been big, to where he is now athletically is pretty impressive. His feet move better. He's always been physical, the physical part of it. The thing that scares us is these two getting their hands on you and just shoving you. I mean, obviously our ends are 210, 220-pound kids. We're giving up 170 pounds. You know, now our tackle minor, he's bigger. You know, he's 300 pounds. You know, Moody's 270. We're a little better there. Their other linemen are normal size, 220, 260, 240. Tight ends, 220. But those two I don't want to be that person that gets hit by him. I'm just telling you.
He's half.
I watch him hit people, and he just sends them flying. We got to find a way to wear him down. When you're that big and you're carrying that much weight, it's tough. We got to find a way to wear him down. We got to make him gas a little bit. And we got some things to do, you know, but also at the same time, we got to use our speed to beat him. And I think that's the answer to the question.
When you look at Lawrence North, it's a team that at least recently has not had a lot of success against Ben Davis. I know going back to maybe your second year, I think
2008,
that was the last time they
beat 14-10
they
or 13-10,
beat it,
something like
yeah,
that.
You remember it.
We were awful that night.
But when you go back to that night, and it was up there at Duane C. Bell Stadium, they've beaten the Giants since then. Last six meetings, I think, closest one was last year at 35-14, maybe a 14-10 game stuck in there somewhere. But I think the closest one, it was a 75-0 game, a 65-0 game, a 70-14 game.
Mm-hmm. Shut them out five
in
times.
There. The Giants have overall shut Lawrence North out five times since in the series. So, and that's in, 21 meetings, I think, between the two. So this isn't a team that's seen a lot of success against Ben Davis, has beaten the Giants before. But how do you get your guys to say, hey, this Lawrence North version, they're different?
Yeah.
How do you, and I know that a lot of your players have seen the transformation
right.
in the program, but how do you get them to say, well, this team's different?
Well, you hope we're mature enough to understand that we've lost two in a row. They've won two in a row, so they're in a little better situation than we are.
Yeah, they come in with a better record in the MIC.
Yeah, they're 2-1 in the MIC. We're 1-2 in the MIC. And then the fact, and we've reminded our kids, we did it Saturday morning, the fact that they beat Carmel. Now, again, it was at home. It's at Lawrence North. We notoriously haven't played as well at Lawrence North. I can remember all the way back to 2003. I think we beat them 7-0.
Driving rainstorm.
2009, we beat them 13-10 here, and that was a scoop-and-score fumble is how we beat them. We couldn't move the ball on them. And so we've had some games that have come down to the wire. I know it hasn't been so much in recent years. But the fact that they were able to line up, rush for 250, 300 yards against Carmel, throw for another 50 yards, put 27 points on a good Carmel team, a Carmel team that preseason was ranked top two or three in the state, you know, that have weapons in the Merriweather kid who's going to Ball State and Jalen Walker who's going to Cincinnati. They got the big tight end who I think is going to Wisconsin. Britt Berry's going to IU. There's four D1 kids playing on Carmel's team. So Carmel wasn't expecting to sit here at 2-3, you know. So, you tell your kids, you remind them this, you know, that maybe Carmel went in there thinking, oh, this is the Lawrence North. This is how it's going. And Lawrence North, you watch film, man, they just took it to them. Absolutely took it to them.
Just to follow up, John was asking how Ben Davis would react. What do you expect from a Lawrence North team coming off of its biggest win in years?
Well, they're going to be on an emotional high. There's no question that they're going to come in here. You know, there was a period in the last two or three years where they would come here and not think things were going to go well. You know, I mean, they were outmanned. They're not outmanned anymore. He's built the program. He's built the strength program. So they're not. And coming off that Carmel win, there's no reason they don't walk in here and say, you know what, we're going to do the same thing. It's no longer we're going to shock the world. We're just going to do what we do, and we're going to do it better than they do it.
Well, even 2 years ago here, they moved the ball. They couldn't mm-hmm. score.
Right.
But they moved the ball well against you. And then last year, again, kind of the same thing where they moved the ball, just couldn't punch it in, and defense was the problem.
Right.
Well, you talked a lot about Lawrence North's offense. What do you expect defensively, and are you more worried about their offense or are you more worried about their defense?
As a head coach, I worry about all of it. That's not an exaggeration. You can ask my coaches. You know, I'll say something to the defensive coach about this, and he goes, well, I'm just worried about their offense. And see, as a head coach, I got to worry about everything. So, I was watching film last night. I went through every one of their punt returns, you know, and everybody's looking at me like, what are you doing? I said, well, I want to know how many times they fair caught it. I want to know how many times he caught it and tried to return it. I want to know how many times he let it hit the ground. Then I went through every one of their punts. I want to know exactly how far each punt went. Was it 20 yards? Was it 40 yards? Which guy made the tackle? Which guy made the play? Are they kicking away from the punt returner so he can't return it? So there's nothing about them that I don't worry about. Their kickoff guy's good. He's also their punter. He's solid. He can put it to the end zone. He's had a couple field goals. He's hit his PATs. He's solid. They got some good kids playing. They got some young kids playing, but then so do we. So that's not going to change for me either. So, I don't know that I see one thing being better than the other. They're a little different team. You know, if you look statistically, and I know John looks at statistics quite a bit as well, but if you look last year through their first five games, they were averaging 38 points a game. Through five games this year, they're averaging 23. So it's a minus 15. Here's the kicker. Through five games last year, they were giving up 37 a game. This year, they're giving up 21 a game, which is a minus 16. So their defense has brought their level of play way up, which I figured they would with Ruben being there. And their offense is efficient. They take care of the football. They don't turn it over. They try to grind out the clock on you. They're content with 4 yards. They're also content with taking whatever you give them. And then they're not making – a few years ago, we played them over there in the rain, and they made mistakes on punt, and we scooped and scored off punt. They don't do it anymore. Snap gets to the punter gets the ball away, they cover the field, you don't get plays off of them. And that's all a sign of coaching the program and getting the program the way you want it.
Last year, if I remember right, Lawrence North didn't throw much, but when they did throw, they looked frequently to the tight end rather than to the wideouts. Is that based on what you may have been giving them, or is that the direction their scheme takes?
You got a good memory. 6 of 9, 122 yards last year. Of the 6 completions, 4 of them were to the tight end. It wasn't what we were doing that they picked up. It's what we were not doing right. The guy that was supposed to be taking the tight end, and there were 2 different people we were operating, just absolutely screwed up. So he was open, and we kept yelling and screaming and trying to get him. You know, there's certain reads in your secondary. Your secondary's eyes are looking at this. If he does this, we do this. If he does that, we do that. Well, they were looking someplace. I don't know what they were looking at. So we've worked real hard knowing that they know that we screwed it up, and they took advantage of it last year. In fact, we were up 21-7 when they hit the tight end, what looked like was going to be a touchdown, and we stripped him and recovered the ball in the end zone that stopped it. We went down and scored, went up 28-7 in the second half, and kind of put ourselves in a good position. But it could have been a 21-14 game. Now you're in a dogfight, you know, and so we've got to do a better job. We did. And then the other one that hurt us was they like to flare that on all their boots and they like to take that back and flare it out. And we showed the kids the film because Mikkel, their leading rusher, he had a flare on us last year, 3rd and 13. He just flares into the backfield, and they dump it to him. He made 6 guys miss. You know, what should have been a 4th down punt, all of a sudden they're 1st and 10 at midfield. Now, they ended up not scoring off of it, but it's those kind of things, you know, that because they're not notorious. They average about 48 yards a game passing. You know, and the night they played us, that was their number one passing night of the year. They had 122 yards.
And I think they also played the backup quarterback that night.
Yeah. Hammersley had been out for 2 or 3 weeks. Hammersley's on his 3rd year as a starter. He started as a sophomore, so this is his 3rd year. This will be only the 2nd year we've seen him, because he didn't play last year because he had broken his collarbone in practice a couple weeks before.
Coach, you know, with Lawrence North coming in, homecoming, all these other things going on, we ask every year about distractions. Is homecoming a distraction for the team?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I like all the activities the school's doing. You know, we got the pep session on Friday. I just tell the kids, you got to handle it. You got to be sure enough to understand that on Friday night you got to do your job. And, you know, and we'll see. Like I said, we were sluggish today at practice. We'll see how we bounce out tomorrow. We got to be better tomorrow. I got a great film from the night, but I'm hoping we're better tomorrow.
Well, Coach, this Friday, Ben Davis takes on Lawrence North. What are your final thoughts?
Well, we're going to have our hands full. It's going to be a dogfight. We know it. We're going to need all the support from the crowd. The weather's going to be nice. It's going to be sunny, upper 80s. I know we got a tailgate thing going on, you know, the dance on Saturday night, and everybody should enjoy it. I mean, it's a tough balance for a coach because you want your kids focused, you want to win the game, but you know what? For the seniors, it's their last homecoming. They don't get another one, you know, and so you want them to enjoy it at the same time. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see where I'm excited to see if the process continues to grow because I liked where we started. I like where we've gotten to in the last few weeks. And you know, and we said this before, we got to be healthy come week 10 and try to make a run at this. You know, we got a chance, you know, just like Avon, Brownsburg, Pike, everybody's got a chance. You know, we got to figure out how to get it done.
Well, thanks again for tuning in to Inside Ben Davis Football. Tune in this Friday to listen to the game against Lawrence North. Pre-game starts at 6 o'clock, kickoff at 7. Tune in next week, next Tuesday at 7 o'clock, for Inside Ben Davis Football live at the Arby's at West 10th Street. And we'll see you guys next time.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.